Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Hey, you got to get picked up to get canceled, you know, Dave.
So that's true.
What are we worried about?
Cancel culture, baby.
Oh, my God.
You've been keeping up with what's going on in the comedy world?
I have been a bit somewhat blissfully unaware of it. I mean, we all know. D'Elia went down for creeping on youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's weird? Like, but to think about, like, in the world of pornography, how it's just like 18. Oh, she's only 18. This 18. Like,
yeah.
17. Total criminal. 18.
Yeah.
Hottest commodity in pornography. Like,
yeah.
Man, what's being promoted there?
Yeah. I never understood that. And man, just, I mean, I don't want to, I don't know the dude. But, I mean, I've done shows with him, and it's just, put it this way, not a shocker. Like, oh, yeah, I could see that.
Oh, really?
Just the vibe he puts out.
I got nothing either way. You know, I've met the guy a few times. He's always been polite to me. I think it's even more predatory. And I don't want to just talk shit, because now it's like, oh, you got to, like, everybody jump on the train of, like, you know, now I see like the few times I do kind of go on Twitter, it's like, cancel all white male comedians. No more white male. Because it's like, all right. Okay. Well, that's one solution for your corner of the world. That, okay, I guess so. But to be a guy who like doesn't drink and then that's a story that comes out, like kind of makes it extra creepy, huh?
Yeah.
Like, stone soap. Not that drinking offers an excuse for behavior, but man, that's like kind of diabolical.
Yeah, this is premeditated.
But like, again, I'm not
put some thought into this.
Yeah, I'm not going to go bonkers on it. There was, you know, creepy text messages, and it was creepy. So I'm gonna I'll leave it at that. The world is already gonna cast its judgment before any court of law does. And I do not condone that behavior at all. But
one thing I've always noticed, and I've seen a lot of these type of dudes in comedy, and I don't know if it's because I'm so old now that I disapprove, but whenever I see like a 35-year-old dude who knows a little too much about teen culture or youth culture, like, I don't know. It just seems like, are you just educating yourself so you have something to connect with these girls about? Like, that just seems a bit odd. I know a bunch of comics. I'm not saying that the comics that do that necessarily are doing anything wrong, but it's just a little suspicious when 35-year-old dude is up to date on what the teens are talking about. That just seems odd.
Yeah. If you're like, man, teen girls are villainous. They are
They're what?
They're villainous.
Villainous, they're
horrifying creatures. You've never seen Mean Girls or Heathers or probably The Babysitter's Club? I didn't read those books, but like they're vengeful. They're a vengeful lot. What are you doing?
Well, and just, yeah, I don't know, man. Like,
some of it, like, whatever the ones I read, like, I oh, man, all right, whatever, you know, hey, everybody gets dragged over the coals for eventually now that everything's documented. But the one where I was like, well, he sent me a message, and even though I was like, first I was like, I was 18 and she was 20, and then he said, come to my hotel room. We went to his hotel room. It's like, let's not go full innocence here. He should have never exposed himself. You are not a victim, but like, come on. What, like, and I'm not like, I don't want this to be construed as any kind of victim mm-hmm. blaming. But when some of the stories are like, if you were creeped out right away, then stay creeped out. But yeah. don't be like, and then I was suspicious, but I did this, and then I was suspicious, and then I did that, but then I kept doing this. And I was like, well, all right, at what point is there some, like, you were aware of your actions?
Mm-hmm.
But, and again, it does not, there, in no way should any kind of exposure be condoned or anything like that. That's incorrect. I want to be perfectly clear. I do not condone that behavior. But when it's yeah. like, when it was like an 18-year-old, which again, if 18, like, it's that weird thing where, like, the same thing with guys, though, of like mm-hmm. 17, that's statutory rape. If a 19-year-old woman has sex with a 17-year-old guy, but if that kid's 18, go to fucking war. Like, well,
yeah.
why we've picked this age. So I don't know who decided the ages, you know, the law did, but that 18 is an adult. And an adult can, you know, smoke cigarettes, sign up for the military, is legally responsible for their own actions.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to prison as an adult, even though you can't buy alcohol for 3 more years.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems odd.
So... I don't know. Yeah, I'm wading into risky territory by saying some of these things, but it's like
I've always been fascinated. You know how we talk about like comedians on the hustle. You know, there's always those comedians. Some comedians, what they lack in talent, they'll make up for in the hustle and the grind, and they're moving and yeah. shaking. And
yeah.
I've always been. Weirdly fascinated by guys who apply that same type of effort to getting laid. It just like, it seems like so much trouble and so much work just to always be chasing women. And then even like, especially when the age difference is so much, I wouldn't know where to begin a conversation with an 18-year-old. Like, what the hell do we have in common? I just don't, and that's why I'm suspicious of guys that are just a little too in the know of what's going on with the kids. Like, ugh, there's just something gross about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, if there is any teen female fans of mine, trust me, I want nothing to do with you.
No, not at all.
And I doubt there are any. So that's also very safe, but I barely want to talk to, the people I know and care about that are my own age. So don't, don't worry. I want nothing to do with you. Go on. I mean, I was talking with Bronger about TikTok, and it's just like subtle pornography. It's all like, look at me being really? Cute, doing a choreographed dance that everybody's doing. But it's all just, it's mm-hmm. just tits and ass. It's tits and ass.
Yeah.
It's all tits and
yeah.
ass. But no, I'm just doing a dance. It's just the thing all the kids do. It's tits and ass.
Mm.
And it's like, all right, man, cool. Make sure China gets that algorithm down.
I'll say this about the whole creeps and stuff. And I'm, you know, I'm careful not to virtue signal here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just say this, fellas. It's not that hard to not be a creep. Like, just use some fucking common sense and some common decency. It's not that hard to just be a decent dude.
Yeah.
And well, I understand single guy, successful guy. He's got fans. He's on the road. Still, even with that, just set some parameters and stick to them. It's not that fucking hard.
I mean, and I'll say this for all comedians, pretty much as a fail-safe. If there's comedians that are, their whole act is about how they're losers, and then they get celebrated for that act and they finally don't mm-hmm. feel like a loser, there's an area of unchecked confidence, let's say, that comes with that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's what happens. Hey, you always felt like a piece of shit your whole life, and here's a little bit of fame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gets used, that window gets taken advantage of a lot of times, of like, oh, now I have access. Now people want to talk to me. no, women want to talk to me. Oh, boy. So, again, not excuses, just telling you what's going on out there.
Well, and then there's some other stories popping up from some of his, D'Elia's peers and colleagues about, you know, gatekeeping, so to speak, as far as, you know, oh, you want stage time, you got to give me a blowjob and stuff. Have you, you've been doing this long enough. Have you ever experienced anything really gratuitous in that arena as far as bookers?
I had to blow Patton Oswalt so much just to open for him all those years ago. Oh, God. He just talked about comic books the whole time, too. I'm like, come on, man. I'm barely enjoying this, all right? It's really not my thing. Could you at least act like you're grateful? Like, I'm glad for the stage time.
He made you put on a stormtrooper helmet?
Oh, God. The only way he could come. That is, oh, boy. Do we actually have to say officially that that's not true nowadays? Because
that's not
because
true,
humor. Oh, God. Reading stuff where people were like, well, you know, these people said on a podcast about Chris D'Elia, and just reading jokes in just the tone of an article that's about this issue. It's like, yeah, those aren't funny in the written word in this context. So if somebody's going to be like, well, Kyle Kinane said that he had to fellate the voice of that rat from that movie. I couldn't remember the name of that movie. No. What about gatekeeping? Have I ever?
Yeah, I mean, have you ever experienced anything like no, not you personally, but have you ever seen like bookers or, you know, veteran comics that kind of use that leverage in that area?
I haven't. No, because I don't know, man. There's like different cliques in comedy. You know that. And then some of them are this clique of like famous dudes and like a crew of bros. And I wasn't in with them. Not that this behavior can't exist in other groups. I know there's been some creeps and there's been some guys where I'm like, I got a vibe about this dude. And then stuff comes out later. They're like, oh yeah, he's a creep. And like, then came out. Like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, okay. That was I was correct to think that way. And I'm trying. Like, I haven't seen it, but I've even thought. I mean, like, man, even it's like you get to a point. It's like it feels shitty, but you're like, I'm good at comedy. And it's like, all right, I bet somebody wants to make out with me tonight. And then you're just waiting around like, it was funny. And I'm going to talk to everybody thinking like they are interested in me because now I have some sense of self-worth. And you find out if you're decent, you're like, no, that's not how it works.
No.
But even I
and if that's your motivation, you're doing it for the wrong reason anyway. And yeah. I can always spot those fucking idiots. I can always spot the comics that are doing it just to be cool and get laid. Ugh.
Yeah, but on like, the other side. But on the other side, the feeling of like, if you're somebody who never got laid and all of a sudden you got attention. And again, these aren't excuses, but psychologically that like, it's like, oh, people are finally paying attention to me, you know? And some people like, I mean, shit, I whored around for a couple years. Well, definitely was whoring around. Now that's not putting myself on anybody. I'm just saying myself. If somebody's like, yeah, you're funny, let's go do a thing. I'm like, okay. You know?
Well, yeah, that's different than you being a predator.
No, but I was slutting around because I never had that kind of attention. And so, yeah, to admit that, I was like, oh, okay. Oh, there's attention about like this now. Because otherwise, you know, I wouldn't offer anything to the world before I got some fame from comedy. So it was always in my corner of like, all right, I guess I got to go like do the thing. Like, hey, how's it going? Try and meet people at a bar. It was before like singles websites. And it was like kind of easier to be like, all right, I'm swiping on you because I'm physically attracted to your face. Let's go meet for drinks with the pretense that we know that this is on some level of attraction.
Yeah.
So I was like, if somebody came to me like, hey, you know, what's up? What do you want to do? I'd be like, I wasn't saying no.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, in the realms of good taste and decency, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's, but when you're your fame or using
a little bit of self-respect, yeah. That could have been.
But yeah, man, just what the fuck, man? Like 17, 18 year olds, dude. And again, it's different if you're 22 and she's 18, but you're in your 30s. Fucking knock it off, man. It's just lame. I would be embarrassed. I would be embarrassed to be one of these celebrities. You know, I'm 50 and here's my 19-year-old girlfriend. I know legally, I guess that's fine, you know, but it just the connotation of that. Like, what? You couldn't? There's also I've always thought there was the connotation of like, oh, people your own age are onto your shit. So you're going to find some young, naive person who doesn't know what they're doing yet, and they're going to fall for all your tricks.
I mean, who's the president and who's the president's wife right now? Like, yeah, what more? Exactly. What more of an example of? And those can be, those are a lot of times mutually beneficial relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? That's a good point, too. That being said, like when those cases do come out, like, for example, I guess a few months ago, it came out that Dennis Quaid was dating like a 26-year-old or something.
Yeah.
And that he was catching all this heat. And I know that's exactly the scenario I just painted. But at the same time, like, what is she? She doesn't have a say in this? The 26-year-old is just helpless?
Yeah,
you know, she's willing, she's consenting, she's agreeing to this relationship. So I don't know. In those cases, it's like, yeah, it might be creepy, but at the same time, I guess if it's legal, then you know we can't paint her out to be this helpless victim. Because the other thing too is, would she be dating a 65-year-old if the guy worked at UPS, or is she dating the B-list celebrity who's got millions of dollars
and
in the bank?
Yeah, and if you reverse the genders in that age gap, would it be seen in the same way? And the same, like, you know, physical age and mental age are two different things. I've known 17-year-olds that have had their shit together more than most adults. And in comedy, we know 50-year-olds that are helpless children. So,
yeah.
I don't... I'm not going to get vehement about one side or another because it's a sensitive topic. And I'm like, I'm not just going to be a loudmouth about one way or another. But yeah, it's a little bit like, it's a little more nuanced than people that just want to immediately like, oh, that guy's 70 and she's 26. She's 26. Mm-hmm. She can make a choice. You know, unless somebody's kidnapped, brainwashed, drugged, then why is there criticism here?
Mm-hmm.
You criticize her as much as you want to criticize him then.
Yeah.
But now is it weird? Like, okay, 36 and 18. That's twice somebody's age. But again, 18, yeah. Legal adult. Now you're saying somebody that a month ago when they were 17 did not have the mental capabilities to make decisions, but now they're 18 legally. They're like, all right, yeah, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just so cut and dry just because there's a legal number on that. Boy, is that an argument pedophiles want to use. I should need to shut up. He's a mature 9-year-old, Your Honor. He's reading at a 10th grade level.
Oh boy.
I can prove that we're the same maturity level. We both took the SATs last year. Yeah, I realize the argument I just had is the same one pedophiles use. And so that's why there's a legal age. We need to say something. There needs to be a number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's just not so cut and dry. That's creep. It's predatory. When you're famous and you use your fame to lure women into your lair, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's been times when it's like after shows and there's been girls around. And they're like, hey, you were funny. I have then had the confidence to be able to be like, oh, thanks. What's your name? As opposed to any other time in my life before comedy where I'm just like, I'm going to stare at this whiskey for another 3 hours and then go home. So.
Oh, man.
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
Speaking of creeps, I chased off a Peep and Tom yesterday, or not yesterday, 2 days ago.
How'd that go down?
Spanking it. Guy spanking it right outside my window. Wasn't looking at me. He was looking at my neighbors.
Okay. I'm like, oh, come on, Dave.
But yeah, right outside my window. But like, you've seen my building. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's like a row of identical buildings. There's about six of these buildings all in a row. And so the next one over is literally 10 feet from my couch. And we share a driveway with the other building. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting here on the couch, and occasionally I'll hear footsteps on the driveway, but I don't think too much about it because it's a shared driveway, two buildings, eight different apartments. The tenants of eight different apartments have access to the driveway. So every time I hear footsteps or anything, it doesn't really alert me too much because it could just be one of the neighbors. But I heard footsteps right outside the window, and I had my blinds down and closed, but the window itself open. So I could still hear everything that's going out there. And heard this dude. I thought I heard like two people talking, like just kind of real muffled.
Oh, the low sound of one hand clapping.
Yeah, yeah. And eventually I figured out it was just one guy. I was like, all right, so this weirdo's talking to himself. And then I heard like a creepy moan.
Oh, no.
And I peek out the window.
If you're trying to be stealth. Come on, man.
Yeah. No, oh, he was like moaning and like talking to him. So like, yeah, you look at it. Like, I thought, 30 seconds before I looked, I thought I heard shit like that. Like, yeah, look at, you know, no. Some sort of like self-encouragement of like, yeah, look at that. And I look out the window.
Come on, Gil.
And yeah. And this dude is like all bent over, like trying to look up in the window of my neighbor's house, and their light, the room of that where that window was, the light was on, and so there was somebody in there, and dude's just all bent over looking up in there, and just wailing on himself.
Really?
And
wow. All right.
I throw on the flip flops, run out the door, and
I guess it's.
Yeah, I was good. I did. I chased him like a whole block. And in hindsight, I don't know what the hell I would have done had I caught him, because I'm not really interested in tangling with a guy who's jacking off.
Oh, well, you've let him finish, and then you rub his nose in it.
I think what I was, my intentions were I wanted to get a look at the guy. I wanted to ID him so in case I ever saw him in the future. But he ran off, and I chased him like a whole block. And I'm in flip-flops, and I'm not very fast anyway, so he pulled away.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You got to scare him right when he comes, so that's what he associates with sexual pleasure. But then that means he's just going to be like, he's just going to be jizzing all over at haunted houses and stuff.
But yeah, just people jacking it right here in the driveway.
Yeah.
And not on my watch. This is a no-come zone right here, buddy.
Jerking off, not on my watch. It's on the other wrist. There was a joke that I thought I could make, and it wasn't good. I haven't been humorous in a while, Dave.
You haven't been humorous?
No, I haven't.
Boy,
it has
been a while.
I haven't been. I haven't been funny in 10 years.
What's the matter, Kyle? I just don't feel humorous.
I don't feel humorous anymore. I haven't been doing many Zoom shows or nothing. Well, that's
what are you? Go ahead.
I was going to say that's so you. How? What happened? He got away.
Yeah, yeah, he got away.
That's you should have got.
He was pretty fast.
If you had those Crocs, that if you would have let me get you those Crocs, mm-hmm. You throw the heel strap on there. As somebody referred to it as being called in four low, which I thought was funny. Four low, the heel strap. I was like, oh, you got to
four get it.
Low. They're like,
what's that mean?
Four wheel drive low. Like, oh, ready for traction.
Right, right, right.
You're wearing those in four low. Low. I didn't get it right away either. It took me a while. But man, comfy, good treads, good spring. They stay on your foot.
I need something like that for that exact occasion. Because I wouldn't have had time. My sneakers would have been a better choice, but I didn't have time to put those on. So I just threw on the flip-flops, and then I'm chasing this guy down the sidewalk, and I realize immediately I don't have the equipment that I need to make this apprehension. So
was he like regular-looking guy, maybe homeless guy? What's the...
I couldn't tell. It was dark. I couldn't even tell his ethnicity because I only saw him both when I saw him jacking off and when I was chasing him. I only saw him from behind. But he was real tall and super skinny. And the way he was running, he was running like real sporadically, like doing this weird, like unintentional serpentine down the sidewalk. And so I don't know. He kind of had the body language of like a meth head or something. I don't know. But just peeping and tomming and jacking.
The creeps are out.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's not the first peep and tom I've got. I caught a peep and tom. I caught a guy jacking off in his car when I was in the van. And now that the last two episodes are behind us, I can actually share some cop stories.
Okay. You told that story about catching the guy jerking off in the car. I'm like, you're in a van doing whatever you're doing. Let the guy that's parked by himself do what he's doing.
Nah, man. No.
Get some blackout curtains. He wasn't in a neighborhood.
No. Nah, that's my neighborhood, dude.
What are you doing in the van?
At least get some blackout curtains. Yeah. You know, I black it out. I'd be real quiet, you know, take care of business. But here's a fun little dumb cop story. One time I caught a dude jacking off in his car when I was a cop. Yeah. We used to catch, you'd be surprised how many people do that in public. And during the spring and summer months, when the gals are a little more scantily clad, I guess that draws the perverts out. But we used to catch people like in the Target parking lot all the time, just... You know, once a month we'd catch somebody in a parking lot jacking off, looking at, you know, pedestrians.
Somebody on the Nextdoor app was like, caught a guy masturbating. This is the car he's driving. And it was the bright purple with like yellow, with a yellow checkered flag on it. The Indy 500 issue purple Corvette. I'm like, man, why don't you just walk into the police station with your boner in your hand if you want to be that conspicuous? Like, it's like, like a Hot Wheels car with a guy rubbing one out right in the middle of the day. Like, this guy is a thrill for him to get caught.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I caught a dude at a park one time in his car jacking off, and actually did surveillance on him for a few minutes to make sure he was doing what I thought he was doing. And sure enough, he was doing what I thought he was doing. And we arrested him. And
indecent exposure or lewd activity?
Yeah, I forgot the exact charge, but something along those lines. But we arrested him. And anytime you make an arrest with somebody in, you know, who's driving a car or a vehicle, 9 times out of 10, you're going to tow that car. I would, little side note, a lot of times if I busted somebody for DUI or something, they were they were cool, I would give them the chance, like, hey, can your girlfriend be here in 20 minutes to grab your car? Yeah. You know, I'll do you that little favor so I don't have to tow it and
extra
money.
When I got my DUI, I got lucky. They're like, normally we tow it, but there's a parking spot open across the street, so we're going to put it there. Like,
oh, yeah, that's cool. See,
silver lining, you know.
That's an example of a little discretion that a cop can use, you know. This guy, we didn't give him that option, so we were towing the car. Anytime you tow the car, you have to do an inventory of the car just to make sure you inventory the contents. That way they say, you know, hey, I had a suitcase full of $1 million in there. Now it's gone. So you inventory the car. See, yes, that's where this is going.
Oh, okay.
And I'm inventorying the car. I'm looking under the seats and moving stuff around. And I wasn't really thinking. And I grabbed a t-shirt full of semen. Grabbed just a good old fashioned cum rag.
Oh,
and,
man.
No gloves on.
Oh, Dave,
I've never been that disgusted and that angry at the same time. I drove lights and sirens with my hand out the window to the fire department.
So they
disinfect. They had all this, high power chemical disinfectant and sanitizing stuff. And we would always here's a little side note. If you got to take a 10-100, that's use the bathroom.
Yeah.
You do it at the firehouse because there's a lot more firehouses around than there are cop precincts. Mm-hmm. Just by the nature of their proximity of what they do. So we were buddies with several of the local firehouses, and we'd always stop in, take a dump, whatever. But I drove lights and sirens. Running code. I ran code to the fire department with my semen covered hand hanging out the window.
Code with a fistful of chode.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, be careful when you bust a public masturbator. Don't grab any t-shirts. Oh, that reminds me too. This is funny. That reminds. Speaking of running code. I ran code one time to the firehouse just to take a dump. I was in the middle of a burglary call, and I'm talking to some sweet little old lady, and somebody broke in, stole her TV and stuff. So I'm on this call alone, and then out of nowhere, it just hit me like, oh shit, I gotta go. So I faked getting a priority call. I said, I'm sorry, man. We got some stuff's going down. I got to go. And I broke off of that call, and I rode lights and sirens to the fire department. But then here's the thing, too. Whenever someone in your area, another cop, is running lights and sirens, you usually know about it because you hear it on the radio. A priority call went out, and everybody hears the priority call, and then they hear who is it's assigned to. So whenever, like, one of your partners is running lights and sirens, you always kind of know about it.
Yeah.
But I ran lights and sirens to the firehouse to take a dump, and I passed another cop, another buddy, and he got me on the radio. We had a public channel where the 911 operators would speak to us, and then we had a private channel where we could converse with other officers that didn't go on the main channel, so like people with police scanners and stuff couldn't hear that channel. So you'd always say, hey, 3113, click over to private. And then some guy saw me running lights and sirens, and he asked me to click over to private, and he goes, Stone, where are you going? You got something? I didn't hear a priority call go out over the radio. I'm like, no, I'm good, 10-100. So sometimes when you see a police car running lights and sirens, they may not be going to priority call. They may just have to go take a shit. So a little inside baseball for you.
That's when you see it with just the lights on but not the sirens. Like, all right, we don't have to put the horns on, but.
Oh man! But yeah, I'm like running red lights, and people are yielding to me.
Did you go back to help that lady?
Yeah, I went back and finished up my report. So, but yeah, it's just something funny about, like,
and somebody took a huge shit in your toilet.
But yeah, that's I guess that could be considered an abuse of power.
I mean, in the extended concept of the children's book, Everybody Poops, it's not exempt in any occupation. I mean, I'm sure there's, Navy SEALs that are just like, well, I gotta go. I can't blame you on that one. I don't think that's necessarily an abuse of power as much as it's like probably not good for the officer to take a dump in the victim's home.
Yeah. No, I've never done that. I've never asked a victim if I could use their shitter.
Oh. I mean, is it? Were you just not a good police officer? Not like you were evil, but just bad. You're not good at the job.
No, I was good. I just, you know, I can't help when you got to take a dump, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, everybody get out of the way. We got an emergency.
Well, for me, I guess, yeah, for like a burly, like there's stuff like adrenaline does suppress your system. I can only speak in terms of doing a show and like, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, hey, Canadian, you're on. Like, oh, well, it's locked up for now. But the system gets overrode by the adrenaline in certain scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, what do people do? Like, there's got to be like fire, like jet fighter pilots and stuff. Like for me, if I'm going to go on a bike ride or a hike, I'm like, I'm trying to dump out.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's like jet fighter pilots, like, oh, I'm on watch. So we gotta, clean out. Gotta be ready for the skies. Gotta make weight.
They might do what I do on a long road trip. If I'm taking a long road trip, if I'm driving all day on tour or something, just shut it down with some Pepto. Just closed.
Really?
You just shut it down.
Just do preemptive.
Yeah.
Preemptive strike.
Yeah, I'll pop two or three little Pepto tabs and just shut her down. Yeah.
Well, now
that'll buy you about eight or ten.
Now
hours.
We're back to classic Boogie Monster form.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking about our systems.
Ever tell you the time I was when I was tour managing those bands at one show? In the middle of the show, during a guitar solo, our lead singer walked behind the Marshall stacks and took a dump in a trash can right there on stage. Oh boy, there he goes! All right, he's got 2 minutes to kill here during this solo.
I always got in trouble because, like, in the middle of a party, I'd just be like, "I can't. What do you want me to do? Gotta go. You gotta go." So I'm like, not in the party, but like using the bathroom. Then everybody else is waiting to pee, and you come out. You're like, yeah, man, I'm sorry. All right. The bathroom. I did what you do in bathrooms.
I'm not going to name names, but I have friends. I've got one friend in particular, and I'm not exaggerating. Every time he's been over to my apartment, he's taken a shit. Every time. Like, you could just count on it. Just up. He's here. Countdown to him asking to take a shit.
Maybe you got a nice bathroom. You got a nice reading material.
Yeah, you know, I got a good setup in there.
Well, that's, see, you made it attractive. Again, I'm not trying to blame the victim here, but there's preventative steps, uncomfortable toilet seat. We've been without a bidet and a squatty potty here for like a week and a half now. I feel like an animal. I feel like a dirty asshole animal, Dave.
You're unclean.
I've got so spoiled with the setup I had at home.
Oh, man. Those bidets, game changer.
Just sitting here using toilet paper like a commoner. Did you get one?
I did. I haven't installed it yet. It finally came. I ordered it months ago, and it finally showed up, but I'm going to get it hooked up this week.
They've been backed up. Very excited. Pardon the pun, but they've been backed up with orders.
I also ordered some back when COVID first broke, you know, when everybody was kind of panicking with the toilet paper and stuff.
Yeah.
Whenever that was what, late March? I ordered
all of spring because 12th. March was like yesterday was the first day of summer.
Uh huh.
And the first day of spring was what? March 21st,
when is that?
Maybe?
March. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So the whole season of spring, yeah.
I ordered a 12-pack of toilet paper back when all that chaos was going, and it came 2 days ago. It took like 3 months to get here. And I don't know if you saw Ted Cruz posted something on Twitter a few weeks ago about some shitty toilet paper he got from China. Mine must have been the same company because it was a 12-pack, but it was wrapped like in a kind of a loose plastic bag. Like it wasn't like sealed tight. It was just, imagine like a giant sandwich bag. What do you call a Ziploc bag? And the rolls were like half the size. Like it was it was like a dozen tiny rolls of toilet paper.
I wonder if they're just selling the halvesies that they take out of the hotel rooms.
Oh, they could. But yeah, literally they were half the size of a normal roll. And just a dozen of them, and it took 3 months. So that's efficient shopping.
So we've been up here for a week and a half, maybe. But I got back right before St. Patrick's Day from tour, and like Rachel had ordered bidets and we're like all set up. I just cracked into my third roll of toilet paper. Like
third roll, not weeks. Third pack?
Third roll.
Wow.
Bidet, buddy. Bidet.
Dude, that's efficient.
Bidet all day.
All day bidet.
Just, I mean, you got nothing else going on.
I can't wait.
Get yourself a clean bud. Get yourself.
Dude, I pulled an ab muscle yesterday. I know that's weird. I didn't think I even had them. I seriously hurt myself. I was like injured for like an hour.
What happened? Stand up just, too fast, checking the broiler? What happened?
I was stretching. I literally just did one of those, like I was laying on the couch and I did one of those full body stretches. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was having a appendectomy or something. I guess I pulled an ab muscle, but like just the worst pain in my lower left abdomen area. And, dude, I was like, I couldn't move for like 2 minutes. And then, finally, kind of like a cramp.
Could be like a hernia.
I hope that's not what it was.
Check your, check your pouch, man. Make sure you got
no. Yeah, I've already had that. I'm good with that. Yeah, I got the nut hernia years ago, but no, I think I stretched too hard and I pulled an ab muscle. So that was a bummer. I was out of commission for about an hour and then sore the whole next day. So yeah, it's been a rough week over here, man.
Yeah. Well, you're chasing down perps, man. Just because you don't got a uniform on anymore doesn't mean you can't be chasing down perps.
That's true.
Yeah, I've just been getting fag. I got Costco membership. I got tubs of sauces that I had to stop myself from going full Winnie the Pooh with some of the stuff. Just one hand in some artichoke Parmesan dip, the other hand in this stuff called bitchin' sauce, just smearing.
Oh,
in my
yeah,
mouth
you
like
sent
a
me a picture
fat
of that
bear with no pants on. Man, I just. Yeah, dude. I mean, I sent you that sauce. Get it. But yeah, you get. I know it's old, old hat to talk about Costco, but it's how mesmerizing it is when everything in there is large. You don't realize the impracticality of the size because everything is large. It's like being at some Disney World ride where it's like, oh, the opposite of it's a small world. I guess is where I was going in my brain with that. But yeah, just like, no, this is the size of stuff here. So I'll get a tub of this and I'll get a tub of this. And then you get it home and it doesn't fit in a shelf and it doesn't fit in a drawer. You're like, oh, I checked out from reality when I walked in there. Because I think it's the ceiling height. If the ceilings were lower, the items wouldn't look as large. It's because the building's
I always wonder about that.
Yeah.
Like, I get it if you've got a huge family.
Too. I think the carts are bigger. That's how they do it. It's all manipulation, Dave. Another new low-rent conspiracy, much like Trader Joe's parking lots. Costco. Everything's just a little bit larger, so you feel small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, that's the reason I haven't pulled the trigger on a Costco membership yet, just because I hate wasting food. And then I'm like, am I going
to
be able to
waste
eat
food?
I hate to waste food, but I just worry, like, am I going to be able to eat this before it goes bad?
Yes,
like somebody sent me, did I tell you somebody sent me a 1 gallon tub of Duke's mayonnaise that they got from Costco?
And what are you doing with the empty jar now?
And I'm I'm concerned that I won't be able to finish
craft
it.
Stuff in there.
But I am concerned that I won't be able to eat it before it goes bad. Yeah, I mean, a gallon. Yeah. I mean, I take it as a challenge.
You know my stance.
I'm gonna do my best. Yeah, doesn't go bad.
No, man. Just
dude,
pour that weird little mayonnaise lake that forms at the top and pour that out and get right to it.
Dude, did I tell you? That is so gross. Like, I've never seen it with a mayonnaise. I see it with a sour cream all the time. You open sour cream, and there's a little pond, little puddle. Dude, did I tell you Katie bought me a Traeger grill?
You were saying.
The pellet grill.
So you take the little, like, rabbit food and it burns that?
Dude. Okay. I used to kind of turn my nose up at it because it's like in terms of like competition barbecue, it would be considered cheating, but it's still wood and it's smoke and the end product is amazing. But it, dude, it is the most convenient thing. It's literally like a set it and forget it. It's like an oven. It's like a smoker oven. You just, you type in, you throw in the pellets, you throw your meat on, and you literally, you there's, you know, there's a dial. You can go 200, 225, 250, 270, whatever. So you set your temp and then you can set the time and you don't have to do anything. Like the biggest, and I get that it's cheating, but like, my point is, if the end product is the same or better, then what do I care? But not to bore you with details, but the biggest part about barbecue, the whole challenge of barbecue is getting that temperature that you want, whether, you know, certain different meats, different temperatures. But like, for example, if you're doing a pork shoulder, you want to do about 225 and you want to do it for about 12 to 13 hours, right? So the biggest challenge in that is keeping that fire at 225, because if it peaks and valleys, you know, it's going to make the meat tough. It's not going to be as good as it can be. So the whole challenge with barbecue simply is reaching that desired temp and then keeping it there for the duration of the cook. And that's a pain in the ass. You got to babysit it. And it's a pain in the ass, but it's also part of the fun and part of the challenge.
Isn't that the art of it, that you got to tend
to it? Yeah, that is the art of it. But depending, you know, you could look at it, it's like, well, this is a fucking pain in the ass. And sometimes it is, and sometimes it's fun.
You just want something but cooked over wood fire, right?
Dude, set the temp and set the time and let it do its thing. It's the most convenient thing.
Set it and forget it.
I've used it 3 times this week. She got it for me. I've only had it like 6 days, and I've already used it 3 times. It's so much fun.
What'd you make on that?
And it's, dude, I've made 2 different types of ribs, and I made a pork shoulder. And, dude, I made baby backs. I made spare ribs. Dude, so much fun. Like, I'm going to use it every day now because it's this easy. You think I'm fat now.
I was going to say, you wait. Does your heart keep you awake at night?
I'm good.
Does your heart just sound like a
strong like a
freight train 2 towns over, clicking over a break in the tracks? Because we went to Rachel's brother's, and he's a real good cook too. He's got Traeger grill too. He made shrimp tacos that were really good, and I just kept going for it, and I ate so much that I couldn't sleep.
Really?
Like there was a level of panic. Like, I had anxiety about how much food I ate.
Oh man.
And I was like, I could feel my heart working real hard. Like I felt like my heart was like Lucille Ball in the chocolate factory line, just trying to keep up and really struggling. Like I could feel my heart sweating.
Nah, man, that's just the cost of doing business. Ugh. That's just part of the game.
Cost of doing business is eventually going out of business.
Oh, man. But yeah, I'm having fun over here.
That's good,
my barbecue game to the next level. I know, like, barbecue purists, you know, shit on pellet grills. And I used to do that too. Because it is cheating. But, you know, who gives a shit? The end result is delicious smoked meat. What do I care?
But you already know you have the skill.
Mm-hmm.
And now you want to go back and be like, you know what, tonight, I know what I'm doing, but I just want to do this easy. It's like when mountain bikers, now there's like electric mountain bikes, that's like pedal assist mountain bikes. And like, yeah, you got guys, yeah, I've been mountain biking for 25 years and my knees are blowing out, and now this gets me up the hill and I can go down and do the cool stuff. So it's like, I can't blame you for that. You didn't. It's when like the people come just zipping by, like, well, how's it going? Like, you're gonna eat your own asshole going down this hill because you got up too easy and you got no reverence for the hill right now.
Yeah,
but
respect.
It's like opened up back down there, right? Didn't they go through? Isn't like phase one or whatever of opening up?
Yeah, down here in Long Beach, anyway. We're LA County here still, so yeah, I think most everything is opened up. So I'm not, Katie and I both have agreed that we have no interest in going out, you know, to bars or restaurants.
Yeah, we were
anytime soon.
We were going to try and go to this place over here that had like tables set up out in the parking lot, so everybody was 6 feet away from each other. So just the feeling going out and having a meal, but it was like I was telling you before we started, because it's like yesterday was the longest day of the summer, and it's you know, Portland's northernmost Oregon, so it's high up in longitude. I want to get that one right. That it doesn't get, like, the sun doesn't even set until it feels like 8:30, quarter to 9. And then it's still, like, dusky out there. So we're like, oh, we'll go out. We're sitting there like, yeah, we're going to order some food. And the guy's like, actually, we're closing soon. We're like, what are you talking about? You know, he's like, it's quarter to 11 right now. We're like, oh, okay. Like, we just started getting drinks on. I'm just getting fat on sauces. I'm getting fat on local. Like, I don't like craft beers, but I'm drinking all these ciders. It's sweet.
I like
beers.
A good cider.
Oh, just a dry,
like a pear cider.
Oh, I'm drinking a dry Cascadia, dry hard apple cider.
Ooh,
6.9% alcohol in one of these in a tall boy. Yeah, I'm like, I'm just gonna have a beer, and all of a sudden I'm like, hey, what's going on, man?
Man, going back to the Traeger
box,
real quick.
All of a sudden, I dropped my fucking weed in the toilet again.
I am very excited to. I feel like my barbecue game is pretty solid, but I will admit it's fairly narrow in that most of my experience with barbecue would fall under American barbecue. You know, those flavor profiles with the similar rubs and stuff. I'm very excited now that I got this thing. I'm going to really try to venture out into other ethnic food barbecue. Meaning, for example, like I want to make like my version of like tandoori chicken. I'm going to make like some smoked Indian chicken some Italian smoked seafood. You know, just different rubs, different spices. Different flavor profiles other than I love American barbecue, but you know, that's all kind of under a pretty narrow umbrella, whether it be, you know, Texas style brisket or Carolina style pork. But I really want to mess around with like, you know, Mexican food and Indian food
like
and
carne asada. Seafood. I was curious about like, do you do it? Like you ever smoke fish?
I don't think I've smoked salmon, but that's one thing I'm excited about is doing some like Italian style smoked fish with some like oregano and some herbs and olive oil and stuff, and just getting the right wood, getting some oak or something, and seeing what I can do with some swordfish or something like that.
Oh, swordfish.
Very excited.
Well, the first time I got sort of like a swordfish steak, let's see it. I'm like, this is a steak. This is like a steak. Oh, this is great. Damn, I'm hungry now.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Dave, I'm downright hungry right now. I mean, I hear you talk about food every goddamn week. And for some this week, I'm like, I'm a real fat ass up here just eating my dips and drinking my drinks. And now, like, smoked swordfish, whatever. Yeah, give it to me. There's a dips. Ramen place over here. We got some ramen. I'm like, yeah, give it to me spicy. I always order the spicy. Took me down a peg.
Really?
I tapped out halfway through.
Really? You're a spicy guy.
I had it the next day. I know I'm a spicy fella. But I was like, we're both eating. I'm like, I can't. She's like, you're full. I'm like, no, but I can't. I can't. The spice overrode my hunger. I would say like spice is like an appetite suppressant, maybe.
Oh, I wonder. Yeah. Huh.
I'm on the spice diet. What's that? Question. Oh, I just burn the inside of my mouth so much I can't eat anymore.
And we got also, a Silver Lake ramen down here now.
Flows out.
We got a Silver Lake ramen branch down here in Long Beach now.
Oh yeah, all right, that's a tasty place.
I love some good ramen. Love some good ramen.
Yeah, they got they got Round Table pizzas up here. I miss Round Table.
Ooh yeah, get that buffet.
Well,
that's a solid pizza buffet.
Nobody's going inside the Round Tables, but I forgot how much I like Round Table. As far as your pizza places, and I know I've been singing the praise of Pizza Hut that finally came back around to them. But if you got a Round Table, my friend, cross that drawbridge and enter the castle of the Knights of the Round Table.
Oh, I never even made that connection.
Yeah, and all their pizza, so like, because I get like the Guinevere's Garden. They're all like that, and then there's just Maui Zowie for the Hawaiian pizza. They made no effort to go along with any kind of theme of royalty.
Oh boy. You're having fun up there. You're still up in Oregon.
In Oregon for the foreseeable future. Gonna go and get some bikes and go ride around the beautiful. I was driving back from a thing today, and all of a sudden there's Mount Hood over here, which I forgot.
Yeah.
Though I was looking at maps, but it was just the highway was leading right towards it, and it was clear skies and this beautiful snow capped peak. It's like, oh, like it's just driving. So, oh shit. Like out of excitement. So we did some hikes and some nature walks, and place where Stan has it's like a subdivision. So it's like a regular little suburban subdivision, but there's a redwood in the yard. Whole ass redwood tree. Towering.
Oh, is that the picture you sent me? Was that in your yard?
Oh yeah. What was I just drunk in the yard sending you pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that was me just sitting in a lawn chair drunk, taking pictures.
I mean, dude, pretty cool.
Without getting out of the lawn chair.
To have a redwood in your yard, that's pretty rad.
It's a pretty neat thing to kind of just sit and ponder if you want to be like, oh, well, this tree at this height, I haven't sorted out, I can't judge height or anything, but thinking about a living entity that's hundreds of years old, like when you go to... Mm-hmm. If you've ever been to Sequoia or the Redwoods, they'll say, like, this tree is dated to then. Like, this tree was around when, you know, and they say different points in history that really puts it in perspective. Like,
yeah.
The pyramids were built. This tree was here while the pyramids were being built. And that makes
that, that's insane.
Yeah. To just think of a living organism that's been around for that long. So that kind of perspective makes it me appreciate it.
Yeah. I always think of that when I see those giant tortoises, those big ass turtles. Some of those can live to be like 180 years old. And that blows my mind in a historical context to think about a turtle swimming around right now today that was alive during the Civil War.
Some of
that blows my mind.
I'm going to the computer now. I want to look up oldest tortoise.
That tortoise has seen some shit.
I wonder, 187, oldest known animal in the world is a tortoise named Jonathan. Has he been named Jonathan for 187 years? Has there been that many people? Like just young, you know, children as they grow and are senior citizens, and then elderly have been like, by the way, this is Jonathan. He'll be around.
This is kind of related, but not really. I watched Parenthood last night. The old, I know they made a TV version of that. Steve Martin.
Classic stuff.
I don't know why this blew my mind, but in that movie, there's five generations of that family in that movie. So there's this really the old grandma, Steve Martin's grandma, is in that movie. So you know she's the oldest. So that's his grandma.
Yeah.
And then Steve Martin's got these two sisters, and one of his sisters has a teenage daughter.
Yeah.
The blonde girl that's dating Keanu Reeves.
Martha Plimpton.
Yes. I can never remember her name.
Joaquin Phoenix is her brother in that movie.
Yeah, young Joaquin. But Martha, Martha, she has a baby. And so that means that old lady is that baby's great-great-grandmother. And I know this is fiction. I know it's just a movie. But the concept of a great-great-grandmother or grandfather who's alive, that blows my mind, like five generations.
Well, I mean, if you think nowadays with the way healthcare is and how long people can live, and then you get some of these, you know, people that, you know, going back to the creepier earlier part of our talk about.
Need a lot of teen pregnancies to pull that off.
Teen moms, teen pregnant, but like, if a 16-year-old has a 16-year-old that has a 16-year-old, like Rafe Williams is a hilarious comic from St. Louis, and he's got just a huge chunk of material about how he was a it's like, it's weird to tell your son, like, because it's like his, he's a grandfather before he was 40.
Mm-hmm.
He's like,
that's
trying to,
crazy.
Trying to tell his 18-year-old son when he's 36, like, you're having a kid now. It's a huge mistake because he'll obviously it's his material, but just hilarious perspective of like, what are you doing? You're going to ruin your life. Also, I love you. You're the best thing that's ever happened.
He's a grandfather. Wow.
He was a grandfather before he was 40.
My my high school girlfriend, my first little high school girlfriend, is a grandmother now. That blows my mind.
Wow.
I don't see how people do that. I mean.
When a man meets a woman, Dave, and then they fall in love. Okay. And eventually there's kissing and there's hugging and.
Did I ever tell you, I was talking about this with Katie the other day, speaking of which, when I first learned what sex was in intercourse, for some reason, I thought, well, when I first learned that, you know, the penis goes into the vagina, for like a year, I thought that the guy sticks the penis in the vagina and then they just kind of sit there and hang out. I didn't know anything about repetition or rhythm or I thought you just like, all right, it's in and now we wait.
And for some fellas, that's enough.
But I really like for the first couple of years after I learned what sex was, I thought that's what it was. Like just like an airplane getting its fuel mid-flight. All right, it's hooked up and here we are.
Dude, I mean, like this is a longer conversation, probably for a different podcast, but you know, when I can't imagine the age at which you could just look up something online and see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember I was in junior high. It was Addison days and I was hanging out and like all the kids were around this other kid who's kind of like a bad kid, but his last name started with a K and so did mine. So we were always like next to each other in gym class and when we would line up for stuff. So we're kind of just by default knew each other and were buddies. He's like, oh, you want to come over to my house? My parents, like, my dad lives near here. And so we walked over there, and he lived in an apartment. And this is, like, what you don't realize when you're younger. Like, if somebody lives in an apartment when you live in the suburbs, you're like, oh, man, you must have it rough. Because the idea of living in an apartment was foreign.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go into this apartment. And he's like, hey, wait here. Hey, I'm going to put this video on. This is Michael Jordan documentary. It's pretty cool. And he just put in a porno movie. And he may as well have put on Faces of Death because I had no idea what I was watching. I didn't see two individual bodies. I just saw just the machinery.
Yeah.
Just the viscous machinery going back and forth. And I was just like, oh, and he's like, ha, right? And I'm just like, I didn't even know what part I was looking, going into what other part. And I was like, it took me a minute. Like, oh, it's sex. That's sex. But then I was like,
yeah, that can be terrifying. It's still terrifying sometimes.
No setup, nothing. Just here you go.
Mm.
So no smooth introduction to that subject for a youngster, I'll tell you. No comfortable way to just have a talk about it.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Hmm. Speaking of uncomfortable talks, I got family Zoom in 20 minutes.
Okay. How are they doing?
No, they're all doing great. Pat and Deb put in repaired the deck. Just calling over there. It's 85 degrees out. My mom's like, me and your dad are both taking turns just out there painting and hammering stuff. And it's like, get someone to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're in your 70s.
Yeah. Don't be a hero.
Yeah. What do you like? Kick back for the love of Christ. Out there just sweating, fucking sweating, just having a proud heart attack out there, painting the porch.
I got it.
Don't worry about it.
All right, buddy.
Well, any recipes? Just excited about the Traeger grill that we're not sponsored by, but we're endorsing. I'll endorse products that I like. We're not going to be sponsored
by this
product. Also, yeah, I got my dad for Father's Day. I got volcanic peppers. So I know we had other peppers that we like bravado spice. I've given you some of that stuff. But nice. volcanic peppers is a good place. They have an Aleppo pepper. It's not very hot. That's just the name of a pepper.
Okay.
What happened here? I accidentally took
right?
you. Sorry. I put you on speakerphone and it creeped me out.
Oh, that's all right.
But, and he realizes I'm saying that. I'm talking about Father's Day, and yesterday was Father's Day, and I hope you're doing all right, Dave. I know.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
You know.
Nah, I'm good. It's weird. I was talking about this on the Stonebergs, but my dad passed the week of Father's Day, so Wednesday will be his 2-year anniversary. So,
all right.
Shout out to old Don Stone, rest in peace, wherever he may be. And I'm good.
Make a tribute dish on the Traeger grill.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm gonna. Yeah, I'm starting a little tradition where I did this last year, where I just I have a little Don Stone day, where I'll watch a couple movies that he used to like, and I'll eat something that he used to like to eat, or just a little tribute. So yeah, I'll probably whip up some smoked wings or something for him on Wednesday. But
that's cool.
But yeah, I'm good. All's good. All is good. Man.
Well, good to hear that, then. All right, well.
Yeah, man.
Enjoy your tribute and your tribute day and your tribute wings. And, I guess we'll get on it again soon enough.
Yeah, buddy. All right, man. Stay away from those teenage instant messages.
Everyone, stay away. Don't slide into anything unless you're in a softball league.
Yeah.
If you're in your 30s, don't slide into anything.
No.
That's it.
All right, buddy.
All right, man.
We'll talk to you next week.
Be good.
The Boogie Monster.